Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
That's all I do.
Here's John Williams.
For you. Got you. Thinking big thoughts. Hi, it's John. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We're here weekdays 1 to 3. Saturdays 10 to noon. The social media platform is WGN King John. The Mincing Rascals is the podcast judged best in the city. Wow. Were the boys and girls ramped up when we were dropped yesterday's podcast around 5 o'clock? Did you hear or see the attached video with a surprise cameo appearance by our own Andrea Darlis? The Mincing Rascals dropped about 5 o'clock last night. They got into it about a couple of things. The mayor, some of the constitutional amendments and laws that may be changing in Chicago and Illinois, like legalized gambling, like legalized pot, like a graduated income tax. There's just a bunch of stuff. And at some points, at one point, I turned to Patty Vasquez. Justin Kaufman was in the mix. And I said, Patty, would you get Justin an herbal tea? Because he and Steve Bertrand were at odds on a thing. And Lou Manfredini says this a lot about the Mincing Rascals. And I value Lou's judgment. He said, you guys do not all agree, but you're never shouting. You're not disagreeable. And it's a very civil, spirited, intelligent conversation. That's props to the people that I stand there and watch and listen to talk.
Lou's a jerk.
And and this is a really good example of that, because you and Justin were at loggerheads on a couple of things. What was the one that really, though, set him off?
He was worked up about the Lincoln Yards.
Yeah, right. I don't know if people in Palatine care about the Lincoln Yards issue. I'm not sure everybody in Chicago does either. But that was a very interesting conversation the two of you made about what happens when you decide, okay, we're going to let some rich people pour billions of dollars into a specific area in a city, could be your neighborhood in Palatine, and we'll grant them billions of dollars of tax concessions and then change the, this is Justin's point, you change the life of people in a neighborhood, in a whole section of the city. You change lives, traffic,
right.
Density, stuff like that. And Bertrand was like, yeah, so your point is?
He was making the old man argument, and I thought I was making, you know, where he's like, we don't want to, I mean, he's got great points.
What was the neighborhood that you guys talked about, Roscoe?
Wicker Park. I think, yeah.
And what did you say about Wicker Park?
Well, I don't want to speak for him, but he was wrong.
You said, Wicker Park changed?
Right. He said, you know, this development is going to fundamentally change Wicker Park, which is a very hip neighborhood right now. And I said, well, look what it's done in 20 years. Wicker Park already has changed. City neighborhoods change all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I will wonder, as a guy who commutes from the northern suburbs, what this will do to my drive, because we're talking about a mini downtown almost on the north side, right on the Kennedy.
Right. Well, so I don't know what it'll be like. I've seen these sort of planned developments where they have entertainment and housing and businesses and restaurants, and it's so cool on paper. But when you get to them, you go, yeah, this sort of looks like, I don't know, a cartoon
right,
world.
This, like a Truman Show.
Totally, right. Yes. I mean, I hate to say the Disneyfication of a hip part of Chicago.
I don't think this is going to be that, though. I think this is a fundamental redevelopment of the air. I mean, this is going to be a mini city in the city.
It's this vast swath of land, and it's in pretty prime real estate. I don't know. The Sun-Times had a picture of, I think, Krista McQuarrie reposted it on her Twitter feed, of what it was like where Millennium Park is now. And she said this picture, I'm not exactly sure if I'm capturing what the essence of what she was saying was, but she said something like, this picture from the Sun-Times wordlessly says everything you need to know about the Lincoln Yards project. Now, what you saw there, this is my interpretation of it, Kristen, I may be completely wrong, was where Millennium Park is, where there were rail yards, where there was just docks and dusty roads. It wasn't anything that Chicago could use or be proud of, except for transportation and industrial purposes. And it's such prime real estate, right? And so you look at that and you go, oh, man, Now we have Millennium Park there. We have just, it's just such a great use of that space. I think her point was, this was the before. We now know the after. The before of Lincoln Yards is now this vast space where there was industry. What are we going to do with it? And we're going to put up a Schaumburg East, you know, when we could do this. I think that was the point. I don't know. All I know is Justin Kaufman was very informed and very animated about it, and Steve Bertrand was having none of it. And if you just want to hear a little back and forth about why that matters to you, wherever you live, wherever you are listening to this, the Mincing Rascals podcast will get you going on that, I promise you. They moved the game up about a half hour last night, Steve Bertrand. I don't know if you know that.
Gotta go.
So there they were, the Chicago Cubs going, well, it's going to rain. Why don't we move the Cubs game up a half an hour? Turns out the earth didn't stop rotating on its axis. And I thought to myself, gosh, where have we heard the idea of moving a game up to accommodate better weather? Oh, I remember. It was me who got on that horse and rode it to death.
Do I have to call Brenda? Are you like this at home with things?
I said to her, was I being that way? I don't remember her answer.
I could predict it. So, first of all, yeah, when that happened, I cringed a little bit because I thought of you first. Second of all, it's not the same thing because you wanted to move it up a whole day.
I did, and yeah. I would.
I tuned in just as the rain delay was ending last night, a little after 10.
Yeah.
You should have walked over. I think there were maybe, and I'm not kidding you, it seemed like 100 people there.
Well, I'll tell you what. When it started to rain yesterday around 8:15, we were along the right field wall. We were along Addison. So we were at Addison and Clark, but just heading back towards the river. So we were walking around Wrigley Field when it started to rain. Brenda looked at me and she said, it's amazing. They said it was going to rain between 8 and 10. It's 8:14. It's raining. It came pretty hard, pretty quick. So we broke into a trot, which you might not recognize as a trot, but it was quicker than our walk.
Were you pushing a dog stroller too, or no?
I was not with the G7 Action stroller, now with mesh canopy. So we then kind of broke into a trot, and I thought, doggone it, moving the game up a half hour was a good idea. They could have moved it up an hour to get it in without a rain delay.
They could have played it last August during an off day.
Okay, you don't have to like my strategy, but I thought I gained a point, if not all of the points I needed to win that battle.
You just go into the weekend thinking that.
All right. I need to pause here. I'll just give you a quick rundown of some of the things we're going to talk about on the show today. In fact, we're going to do this after this break, right, Elif? Did you see the story in the paper? Maybe you guys are doing it too, Steve, but it's a LaGrange Park Highlands man, I think it is. He won about $8,000. There's a website. Well, it's really an app. There's a web. You can't play online on a website, but you can on your phone, on your device. I've downloaded the app. It's called Givling, and the whole premise behind it is that it helps you pay off college debt, or I guess any debt, but really it's marketed, I think, to people who have student loans. And you get to play for free. They send you true-false questions, and you have 10 seconds to answer each of them. Elif, you are typing them up. Do we have them around here?
You should have them.
Okay, let's pause. I'll run some of them by Steve Bertrand. Steve, I'll give you 10 seconds. By the way, when you play the game, and if you get enough of them right, you get points which are translated into dollars. And this guy in LaGrange played it well enough, he won $8,000. I don't think it cost him anything or very much because you can, like all of these things, buy additional points, buy additional games to play. But they let you play a couple for free, I think, a day. Anyway, when you do play the game, they randomly pair you up with two other people playing the game anywhere in the world. So it might be Steve, and it might be Lauren Lapka, and some guy in Connecticut. I'm going to run the questions by you two. I'll give you 10 seconds. You'll be a team. We'll see how you do after this.
Thank you. We're the Cantina Band. If you have any requests, shout them out.
Play that same song.
All right, same song. Here we go.
Big Star Wars convention in town. And two songs were jingling in my head as I walked from the train today. One was the John Williams Star Wars theme, and the other one was this. I walked by a Princess Leia standing there waiting for a bus. And then one of those guys in the brown robes and people with lightsabers just generously sprinkled throughout downtown Chicago today. It's a going thing they got there. Okay, you ready, Steve? Lapka, can you play? You got time over there in Traffic Central?
Sure do.
Okay. You get 10 seconds to answer the following questions. Ready, set, go. According to an ancient proverb, cats have five lives.
One. False.
Yes, false. That's
correct. By the way, the clock doesn't start before you read the question, but go ahead.
Okay. Fashion designer Giorgio Armani is a native of Italy.
True.
That's correct. George Orwell said, whatever is funny is subversive. Every joke is a custard pie. True or false?
I'm going to say false. I don't know that one.
I'll go with false, too. I don't know either.
It's true.
Oh, okay.
Snow White is an American fairy tale.
False.
Snow White is not an American fairy tale. That's false. The number one cash crop for Missouri is wheat. You have 10 seconds.
I'm going to say false.
What do you think it is?
Maybe corn?
I thought it was...
Ding, time's up.
There was something... I don't know why I'm thinking pea pods. What's the other
soybeans?
Crop? Soybeans.
Yeah. Soybeans is correct.
It's edamame.
Ah, see, I lived there for a while. I should know.
Soybeans, ding, ding, ding.
So wait, we were right.
So false is correct. Yeah, whatever. So that's how it goes. And then some of them are things like, this is the finance minister of Russia. And I'm like... Who knows that? But I got a 50-50 shot.
Sergei Shcherbinsky.
God, if that's right, I'm going to go over there and smack you. So that's the way it works. And if you do well enough, long enough, you get points. You get. I'm not exactly sure how it works. Let's ask Seth Beard, who joins us now on WGN Radio. Hi, Seth. It's John Williams. You're on WGN in Chicago. How are you today?
Hey, John, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. And I think you guys should download the app and play. You did all right.
I did download the app. Those were questions from when I did play, and I did not do very... And you know what I did one time? So it says a cat has five lives. Well, I know it's nine lives. I know that's easy. I forget, but I didn't answer it in time because I was thinking, am I really reading this right? Bah, time's up. Ah! So that happens too, right?
That happens, yeah.
You are the chief marketing officer of this app called Givling. Now, I downloaded it and played a couple of times today for free. Then it wouldn't let me play anymore. How does this game work and what does it do?
Right. So there's definitely multi faces to how the game works, but essentially it's a gamified crowdfunding platform with the goal of getting our users out of debt. And primarily that's student loan debt, also mortgage debt. And we give away a lot of cash. What's really great about the app is every time you play, you're automatically entered into some random drawings for cash. So we do a daily random drawing, which typically is around $500 a day. And then we'll have about every 5 or 6 days, it's a $10,000 random drawing. And these are just by playing the game 10 times within 30 days. You'll see on the app, you'll receive a gold star. And so if you're terrible at trivia and not doing well and you don't think that you can win our really big weekly cash prizes, it's a great way just by staying engaged that you still have a chance to win.
Do you ever play by yourself or are you always paired with two other people as a team?
Yes, so you're always paired with two other people as a team. And we've had actually people win with scores of 0 or 10 because they've been paired by the computer with really strong players, and that score carried them out through the week, and they were able to claim the cash. So just by playing, you actually have a chance to, you know, be on one of these strong teams.
If those other randomly chosen players are strong, are you stuck with them all week, or are you getting a different team each time you play?
Yeah, the latter. So each time you play, you're put on a brand new team.
How many people are playing at any given time?
It does vary throughout the day, and the afternoons tend to be busier. I'm assuming people are getting off work, want to enjoy some leisure time with their family. We do get calls and emails all the time. People enjoy playing with their family to try to see if they can combine their knowledge to win. So we get thousands of people playing at the same time, and right now we have about 400,000 users on the app that are registered on the platform.
How are you getting the money to give away? I understand that 90% of the money that comes in from user fees is paid out, so it is a sort of crowdsourcing way to fund money to lucky or pretty good trivia players. But where do you get the money? Is it just from people who pay 50 cents for additional plays or what?
Yes, so there's several revenue sources that we have. That is one, from people that do pay to play. We also have advertisers on the platform. So after you finish your trivia, you strike out with those three incorrect answers, you're automatically prompted with a video ad. And there's a call to action after that where you can check out their products. And that's how we get a lot of funding, too, to help with that. And there are also other video ads that you can watch that help fund the queue. So combining those three elements help us with all the jackpot payout money.
Do you worry that it's a mixed signal because I'm in debt? Now I'm paying 50 cents a play to try and get out of debt.
Sorry, there, I didn't hear the question.
This is for people that are, it's for anybody, but it's marketed to and promoted to people to pay off their debt, and yet it costs 50 cents a play. It's like sitting somebody in front of a slot machine and saying, here, just use this and you might get out of debt. What about that mixed signal?
Sure. So that's why we do have the daily award. That's just simply by playing those free 10 games each time daily, somebody's winning around $500. So you don't have to pay anything to be eligible for that. And also the $10,000 random drawing, you don't have to pay to be eligible for that. Also the weekly trivia, you don't have to pay to play. So we've had many winners that have never put in anything other than time within the app that have received a great return.
I don't know if you like the sound of this or not, but I've never seen anything in my hand that more efficiently forced me to watch commercials. Because and I've only had the app for a half a day now, but it seems like after I played, I find myself watching an ad that I have to get through to do something again. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We've shifted the paradigm of how our users think of ads because they know when companies back Givlink that they're putting those companies specifically their money towards helping the users get out of debt. So they say, bring on the ads. Help us. You know, they're reaching out to companies, asking them to join us, and it does make my job a little bit easier. So that's nice.
I could see how it's attractive to the advertisers, that's for sure. And if that defrays some of my cost as a player, I'm intrigued by that business model. Just one last thing here now. It says, I have zero coins now, but I've only played a few times today. Do I have more free plays coming up today?
Yeah, so your next free plays, they reset at midnight Mountain Time. So tomorrow you can play your two games. And then if you look at the lower part of that, the app itself, there's a TV screen. Yours might have the number 30 on it. These are ads that help generate revenue as well. And there's a wheel that spins. You can actually get coins from that by spinning that wheel.
One of our residents in the Chicago area won about $8,000 doing this the other day. Total paid out, it says on my app, $2,812,000. This thing is real, and it's called Givlink, and it's fascinating. Okay, I'm out of time, but good luck to you guys, and congratulations on a really interesting model.
Great, yeah, thanks for having me, and I do come out and surprise some of our winners with giant checks, so I'd love to come to the Chicago area and do that for somebody there.
If you do, reach back out to us, and we'll tag along, okay?
I'd love that.
Seth Beard, somebody said, how do you spell it now? It's like I think it sounds, Givlink, G-I-V-L-I-N-G, Givlink is the app we're talking about. Steve, this text is poured in based on our conversation about the conversation the Mincing Rascals did, the weekly podcast that dropped last night. If you don't listen to podcasts, you should. If you do, I hope you're looking for the Mincing Rascals. John, can anyone come up with three reasons why we couldn't have ideated? Oh boy, that's a fancy word. I know of it. I try not to use it. Could anyone come up with three reasons why we could not have ideated a Lincoln Yards on the south and west side? That is, take the Lincoln Yards $6 billion development. Instead of putting it in the prime real estate, put it on the south side. Put it in the Gary Works. Put it somewhere maybe where they were considering putting the Obama Center. Oh, they could have done that. But a private company doesn't have to do anything it doesn't want to. If I were the developers, I would, you know, selfishly want to put it where I want to put it. Maybe that will eventually, well, actually. So then Lori Lightfoot becomes the mayor-elect. And Rahm says, okay, let's put everything on hold until Lori Lightfoot and the city council decide. And everybody went, okay, Lori Lightfoot taking some charge here. 48 hours later, they said, thumbs up, everybody. So that was kind of a surprise. Again, the Mincing Rascals put a bow on that conversation. So I won't editorialize any further here. And I don't know that Lori Lightfoot made the wrong decision. I just think both of those episodes were a little surprising to people. Wow, they really did put the brakes on, but they only tapped them, and then traffic resumed. There's an organization that I found out about in Minnesota when I lived there, and it's called Feed My Starving Children. You may know about it because it's not unique to there, but I discovered it there, and I was so glad to see that they had offices and operations in the Chicago area. Feed My Starving Children. The development advisor is a woman named Sarah Presley, and she joins us in studio now. Hi, Sarah. How are you?
I'm very well, John. How are you? Thank you for having me.
What a descriptive, almost alarming name, Feed My Starving Children. My goodness, what do you all do?
Our whole mission is to feed starving children hungry in their bodies, but also hungry in their spirits. We believe that all children around the world are God's children, and we partner with different organizations around the world. Right now, I think we're in over 50 different countries. We work with those partners and give them the food that we pack here in the United States.
Is it a religious organization?
We are a Christian organization, and we invite anybody and everybody of all faiths to come and pack food with us, and we'll feed any child.
I didn't get that it was denominational in any way. In fact, when I was there, I remember that we all prayed beforehand, or was it afterwards? Maybe both, but I didn't. It sure wasn't an overly religious experience when I went to PAC.
The main thing that I think of is that we do everything we do based on how we discern God wants us to do. And it says very clearly in the Christian tradition that we are supposed to help the widows and the orphans. It says very clearly in the Christian tradition that we are supposed to feed whoever is hungry. We're supposed to give water to whoever is thirsty. And we do that with a great deal of prayer and time together. But if you are not a prayer and if you are not religious, we want you to come and help anyway.
So does any consideration go to who participates or where the food goes based on religion?
That's a good question. We do not have any decision making about who comes to pack the food. We want everybody to come and volunteer with us. The way that we get partners is that different organizations around the world ask to become partners with us. We do have primarily Christian missions, but we also have organizations that have a Muslim tradition. We have organizations that are not particularly religious at all, and we are happy to partner with them and to work with them. And we have been praying every day since, I want to say, about 6 months ago. We pray every day for one of our partners, and we go through that entire list. It takes, you know, probably a year or so to get through every single group, but we pray once a day.
People, organizations, companies donate food? Is that what you do?
This is a good question and a common misconception. So we are not a food bank. We're not like the Greater Illinois Food Bank, who we love and adore. We are not like any of those places where they store food. We actually pack a 4-ingredient dry package where folks come in and have scoops and cups, and they put in the 4 ingredients. You may remember them, John.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Can we say them together?
Well, but I was wondering, where did we get the grain? Where did we get the rice?
Yes. We purchase all of that.
You do?
We purchase it on the market. We do not get any particular special discount, if you will. We go right to where the rice and the soy are being sold, and we buy it here.
So when I went to a PAC, I won't get all the 4 ingredients to put in, but we was like assembly line, mm-hmm. and the boxes would come with the bags, and you'd scoop, and you were the person of this, you were the person of that, you seal the box, you close the bag. It was this very organized thing, very efficiently taking volunteers who didn't know anything about it 10 minutes ago, and now they're working a crew. And it's, frankly, it was kind of fun. There was a real camaraderie there and a real sense of mission, right? And a sense of reality. That is, you're not sending ding-dongs. Mm-hmm. Or even beef sandwiches.
Right.
You're sending grains to survive. what goes in these packs?
So the first ingredient that goes in is really the thing that has the most impact, and that is our vitamin package, vitamin powder. And the vitamins that are in that powder have been selected by food scientists and nutritionists. So it's not just any old random food. We have a nutritionist, a dietitian that we work with actually right here in Chicago, and they helped to put together this formula and selected vitamins and minerals, micronutrients, that are specifically selected to help kids under 5 that are suffering from malnutrition. But of course, it'll work for anybody. You know, you can take Flintstone vitamins and still get nutrition out of them.
So we have the nutrition pack. What else? Mm-hmm.
And then dried vegetables, potatoes and carrots. And then we have a extruded soy protein, which is just a fancy way of saying soy. And then the basis is rice. It's white rice. And what we have found is that that is acceptable in all cultures around the world. We like to call it the universal grain.
So when people get this pack, what do they do with it then?
So imagine then that the food goes in the bags and we put the packs onto boats and we send them to our partners. The partners get the food for free. They do have to pay for shipping or figure out how to get it shipped to them. Then they use those in various programs. I had the great honor of going to Haiti in 2017. And what I saw were organizations like a soccer club that teaches soccer every day after school to kids in Haiti. And they use that food to feed the kids before they go out to play soccer.
Do they stir it with water? Or how do they consume
it? It's boiled water, and which also helps to clean any water source that they might be using. And then they just spoon it out onto plates, and the kids and any adults that are working with them also eat it.
Have you tried it?
I have. I eat it all the time, actually.
No kidding. I suppose it's, well, tell me how it is.
It's rice-a-roni. I mean, it's that kind of thing. It used to be called, before we called it manna pack, which is a biblical reference, we called it rice casserole, which every good Midwesterner out there.
I was just going to say, you can tell this organization's from Minnesota.
That's a true story. But it's quite tasty. And if you put in the different countries, they'll flavor it with their particular flavor profile.
So are you always operating this operation? Because when I did it, I did it as a one-day volunteer with a group of people from my radio station. Do you have a full-time staff? How do you actually accomplish this?
So in every one of our sites, and we have 8 of them around the United States, there are 3 here in the Illinois area. There's 3 in Minnesota. There's 1 in Phoenix, Arizona. There's 1 in Richardson, Texas. Every one of those sites is open for 5 packing sessions, and those sessions are either a 2-hour session or in the evenings on the weekdays, an hour and a half. And we have 4 or 5 and sometimes 6 staff who help to guide the volunteers through the entire process beginning to end.
But it's manual labor intensive.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always being done by volunteers?
Always by volunteers.
Wow.
That's one of the most important things, is that we don't put the food in the bags. We need you to help us.
That food does not get to India or Russia, or does it go to Tennessee? Does it stay in the United States, some of it as well?
This is a good question as well. We can, and we do, get requests from people in the United States to have our food. What we have found is that in the United States, it's not as culturally acceptable because of what I mentioned earlier. When we think of that, we think of rice-a-roni, or we think of mac and cheese. And so though we do get those requests, they have never been re-requested.
Well, I also think people who are food challenged in this country, and it's a crisis, are not as food challenged as they are maybe in other parts of the world.
That is exactly what we think is going on. There are places even now where children are so, so terribly undernourished that they exhibit all the classic signs of the very, very thin bodies, the ribs that are sticking out, the bloated stomachs. And we simply don't see that in the United States.
Which is another problem unto itself, what we do for nutrition in this country.
Yep.
But this is feed my starving children. So then the food goes across the globe. One of the agencies that actually receives the food and distributes it, I mean, if you will, the payoff then is this scene where the food is delivered.
Yes.
I've seen the videos, and obviously you've been there in person. And one of the people who's involved in that element is going to join us on the phone. Organization that I discovered not that long ago is called Feed My Starving Children. I went to a competitive volunteer pack where we were grouped in teams and we tried to see who could pack the most cases of this packs of food that are delivered to starving children around the world. Feed My Starving Children. It exists because volunteers do it, and a paid staff organizes it. The website is its initials, fmsc.org, Feed My Starving Children, fmsc.org. If you, your church, those kids of yours, the school group, the team, the Cub Scouts, the Girl Scouts, whatever the Scouts are these days, if you know somebody who would like to do something volunteer, physical, organized, and feel good about it, and know that it really, really makes a difference, then fmsc.org. I'm presenting with Sarah Presley, particularly now that summer's coming, because people tend to put their organized lives on hold during the summer. I suspect your volunteer numbers drop a little bit in June.
They drop rather dramatically, actually. And we like to say hunger does not understand that there is summer. And kids around the world don't know that we have summers off. And so we need volunteers to come in, especially during the summer months when our numbers drop so low.
Here's Dr. Michael Cherenkov. He is the executive director of something called Mission Eurasia. Hey, doctor, it's John Williams. You're on WGN Radio in Chicago with Sarah Presley, too. How are you, sir?
Hello, I'm fine.
We've been talking about Feed My Starving Children. So what's your connection to him then?
He is the field director for one of our partner groups, and I'm sure that he has seen the amazing work that this food is doing for the kids that he's been serving.
So you guys pack it up, and then what happens then?
Doctor, would you like to take that?
Yes. I would say we are good partners with Feed My Starving Children for the last 4 years, as we have been distributing Manipak rice meals in eastern Ukraine. By the way, I grew up in eastern Ukraine. Now it's kind of war zone. Mm-hmm. Probably you have heard about conflict between Russia and Ukraine. And almost 10 million Manipak rice meals have been shipped and distributed to those in need in Ukraine. So just in last year, I mean 2018, we reached about 1.5 million people with our special refugee assistance program. We call it I Care. So I'm not indifferent. I care. And many of these people received many pack rice meals. But let me say that Manipak provided to them not just nutrition, but also hope. And because we are mission agency, we care about their souls and about spiritual hunger as well as about physical hunger. So we are good partners. Yeah.
If you would, just quickly tell us what the situation is like there. I mean, maybe I know about the refugee situation in eastern Ukraine, but maybe you could give me a quick sort of update on what the status is, who's there, how many, what's the situation?
Well, as Ukrainian armed conflict enters its fifth year, we have more than 2 million of refugees. And the most important thing, I would say, we have 3.5 million people in the eastern part of the country. And according to the United Nations report, they are in need of humanitarian support. So we care about refugees in different areas, different regions of Ukraine, and especially about those people, I mean, trapped in war zone.
Yeah.
So we have totally about 5 million of people in need.
You know what's amazing to me? We're just about out of time, gang, but you say, oh gosh, that's a terrible situation. I can't imagine what I can do about it. Actually, here's what you can do. You can go to Libertyville. You can volunteer to pack. And very quickly, that food that you had your hands in will be on a plate for somebody in eastern Ukraine. Am I right about that?
That is correct.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And I would say that a lot of the children who have received rice meals through our special program and partnership with Feed My Starving Children will also be going to some summer camps and church programs this summer to learn even more about Jesus and about his care for people, hungry children.
Dr. Michael Cherenkov, thank you for your time. Keep up the good work and know that we're going to try and get more food your way, okay?
Thank you.
So that's it. John, how long does a pack last if the food's in the bags that you described?
Sure. During the day, how long does the food last?
What's its shelf life?
Sure. It's about 2 years, actually.
John, can individuals sign up for a pack or do I need to be in a group?
Individuals are welcome.
Well, John, we have done Feed My Starving Children for Kids birthday party a couple of times. Go pack the food, then have a cake when we get home. Not a bad idea.
Huh? Many kids get to do that, and the birthday person gets a free T-shirt.
You need to do this now, especially this summer. FMSC.org, feedmystarvingchildren.org. They're in Libertyville, they're in Schaumburg, they're in Aurora. Libertyville, Schaumburg, and Aurora. Details at FMSC.org. Nice of you to come in.
Thank you so much. I appreciate being here.
You got a fancy hoo-ha coming up too, don't you?
We do. That would be May 4th. We're having our annual gala at the Schaumburg Renaissance Convention Center. And we would love for you all to come and to celebrate with us how many kids we were able to feed.
FMSC.org. Sarah Presley, thanks for coming in.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Too soon.
Here's John Williams.
Producer Olive, you'll need to remind me at the end of this little thing, I say, hi, it's John. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We're here weekdays 1 to 3 and Saturdays 10 to noon. Social media, WGN King John. Mincing Rascals just dropped another award-winning podcast for you. And we did that yesterday about 5. Have you heard the latest episode of the Mincing Rascals? It's a rouser. If you go to WGNradio.com/Jefferson right now, I hope you do. You can buy tickets to our, I'll bet it's 20th, 30th. We've been doing this for about 20 years, and we've been doing a couple of shows, sometimes even more than that a year. Conversation with one of the presidents, Roosevelt or Jefferson. We invited Thomas Jefferson to join us at the Classic Cinemas Tivoli Theater. This is in Downers Grove, and the date is Saturday, May 18th at 10 a.m. Tickets at WGNradio.com/Jefferson, WGNradio.com/Jefferson. If you're not completely satisfied, I will not give you your money back. It's good for you. It's funny. It's enlightening. What would one of the founding fathers say about X? And there he is, saying it. When Ken Burns did his documentary about Thomas Jefferson, the lead interview was the man behind the wig that we walk onto stage with. I like to say Jefferson wrote 20,000 letters. This guy memorized them. It's always fun when someone says, well, you said to the Methodist that there should be a separation between church and state, and he'll say, madam, assuming it was a female that said that. It was the Danbury Baptist, and it was a Thursday at 4:30 in the afternoon on March 18th of such and such a year when I wrote, and then he quotes it. It's really remarkable not just to see the command of history and how fluidly it follows, but his ability to sort of interpret that and make it relevant in 2019. So if somebody wants to say, what do you make about putting illegal aliens in sanctuary cities? The Jefferson Doctrine comes out of his mouth, and you know what one of the founding fathers thought. And often you're disappointed. And a lot of
right, because we create these people in our head, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, he didn't think women should vote. They didn't even think. I mean, think about this. You knew that blacks didn't vote and Indians didn't vote and women didn't vote when the founding fathers found this country. But white men couldn't vote unless they had enough property. I mean, this whole democratic thing, like, oh, we're this American experiment and it's still working. This, what we have today, however flawed, wasn't even, you know, that's a question for him. I wonder which version of this country is better, because the whole gist of this show is sort of being pitched as, oh boy, he's ticked. He's very disappointed in what's become of us. If we went back there, I'll bet we'd be very disappointed in what we saw.
It's just funny when someone asked him about women's suffrage, the suffrage movement, and his reaction was kind of like, okay. It's just, if that were to happen today, imagine the riots.
There's always a couple of points in the show, Elif, where the crowd turns on him.
Yeah.
And whenever women and politics comes up, or women in voting, or women as a CEO of a company comes up, he'll give you the 18th century chauvinistic male view on that. And they just about storm the stage.
He's always like, you guys, you're so silly.
Yeah, yeah. He cannot comprehend it. And he dismisses it out of hand. He literally thinks a woman's place is in the nursery. Forget about the kitchen.
Right.
I mean, we'll get slaves to do that. you should be having babies.
Just pop a baby out and deal with that.
And I'm only being a little cavalier about it. I'm telling you, this is sort of the mindset. So it's a lot to wrap your head around. It's fascinating. WGNradio.com/Jefferson.
Someone just texted in that tomorrow is his birthday. Is that right?
That's funny because I know his death day better than his birthday. He died on the 4th of July.
Yes, it is.
Today is his birthday.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow's his birthday. Maybe I'll call him tomorrow on my Saturday show and just wish him a happy birthday.
There you go.
The News Click, a daily web poll question we ask at WGNradio.com is this. Sunday, Game of Thrones returns, and I'm... Lapka, Bertrand, are you guys into Game of Thrones?
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm so excited, but I really love it.
Well, here were your options on our News Click. We always ask a question, then you get to check the box that most applies. A, super, very excited. B, super excited. C, pretty excited. D, left-handed. E, not excited. F, I'm excited for this to be over.
A.
58% of you are not into it. I get that.
What? It just blows my mind. Even if you don't care about the storyline, there's just so many great aspects of the show. Visually, there's just so many reasons to appreciate it.
Beautiful people.
There really are.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they're not wearing fancy suits. They're wearing robes.
Sometimes they're not wearing suits at all.
The show is a lot less sexual than it used to be.
Yes, because they've got us hooked in. That's my theory.
Say that again?
I don't watch as many HBO series as I used to, but my theory used to be that they would always start very sexual and then ease off because it was, if people wanted to see that, they kind of got hooked into the series.
Maybe so. I don't know that that was working for me, although I was often shocked, alarmed, and somewhat titillated by what I was seeing. You know, the business of storytelling where you just have to further the story is called exposition. There were so many scenes where they had to further the story, but like, what are we going to do? Just stand there and say, hey, Bob, well, then what will we do next? Well, we need to conquer that kingdom. Okay, but then what if they come over the wall? So they need to kind of further the story along. Well, they would do it in a brothel or in a bathhouse. Well, all sorts of sex acts were being performed, and that business on Game of Thrones of telling the story around sex acts was called sexposition. I'm not making it up.
They used to put out montages of the scenes after the episode.
So I Googled...
I happened upon.
Well, I Googled up today, best scenes from Game of Thrones. Okay, this is number two.
I did not kill Joffrey, but I wish that I had been 1,000 lying whores.
Sorry about that lion horse thing.
I wish I was the monster you think I am. I wish I had enough poison for the whole pack of you. I would gladly give my life to watch you all swallow it.
Samarin! Samarin! Escort the prisoner back to his cell.
So that was a thing. I suppose, Lauren Lapka, you remember that scene, the Tyrion
Absolutely.
Speech?
Absolutely. You've never seen Tyrion so angry than at that moment, because already he's being accused of something that he didn't do. The woman he loves has turned on him, and he knows that he's probably about to die, and he just explodes. It's beautiful.
If you're going to go, right? Go big
yeah,
or go home.
Exactly. And
which
he
is
does.
Ironic, because he's obviously a dwarf and is an outsized character. I saw a piece today that said, why didn't they embrace his character more? In the latter seasons, we haven't seen as much of that character as some of us would like to. And I thought he was not only Peter Dinklage, one of the best actors in the series or on TV, but one of the most interesting characters. And you don't get as much of him now as you used to.
Well, you get a more refined version of him. You see him use right. his brain a lot more instead of just being kind of
drunken
silly.
Rogue. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. would you guess, Ms. Lapka, what is the number one scene when you Google it for Game of Thrones?
I mean, I guess if you were to give me a hint on what season it's from, I might.
Oh, I wouldn't know, but I'll tell you the first word is red.
I was going to say red wedding.
Red wedding.
And
oh.
The second word is wedding.
Icon.
I'm not. You know what? Every time I think I'm going to play the audio from that scene, it's just the sound of steel and flesh. It's one of the most shocking things you've ever seen on Tully Winkle. So let's not even go through it. Elif said, yeah, just as well. Because that's all it is. It's just people getting their throats slit. And the whole wedding turns red with the blood of the folks.
Jaws were dropped for days.
Well, that's the way the series works. I think the question for a lot of people now in this last season that's about to premiere Sunday night is, who's going to get killed? Because the show is famous for creating characters that you thought would never die. And then, boom, off with their head. Off with their head.
Right. At this point, I think so many people could expect to not have any kind of happy ending.
But, you know, I think that this series, I'm sympathetic to the people because I watch it and I couldn't explain a lick of it to you. The whole who's in what kingdom and what the strategies are. All I know is it's some, you know, swashbuckling stuff with dragons and it's amazing. I don't understand a lick of it.
I watch it like you, like when Lauren said, if you could tell me which season, I couldn't identify an episode with a season, except for the first one where they pushed the kid out of the castle, but that was the first episode ever.
My nephew and son can talk like that, and then my wife has a higher appreciation of it than I do. But I'm just like, what? And they go, and they know like who's in what kingdoms and whose team.
There's a lot to keep track of, to be honest.
Right, right. So I don't do that.
As a non-GOT watcher, what's the girl's name that people love so much?
Danny, I thought Arya. No. Arya or Daenerys?
Neither. It begins with an S. And
Sansa?
No.
Oh, yeah, Sansa.
I thought of
Cersei?
It last night. Cersei, thank you.
They don't love Cersei.
Yeah, no, she's the devil.
Or that I've heard mentioned.
Yeah.
She's the evilest person ever. But at the same time, there are very brief moments you feel bad for. It's
someone.
A few. But then she very quickly goes, no, I'm right. A horrible person. You can hate me now.
There used to be a podcast on this radio station that was about binge watching shows. You would challenge the other person. Either the host would challenge you or you'd challenge him and then you'd come back and talk about it. Well, Craig Collins was the host and he challenged me to Game of Thrones. And I watched one episode and I just couldn't get through it. There was just no way. I don't know how you people do this.
Well, I would say it's one of those things you can't pick up midstream. You need to go back to season one, episode one, and walk through it because...
And be ready for some shocking things.
And even then, it's challenging.
There were some shocking things.
Oh, yeah. By the way, 24% of you said super very excited. 5% and 7% said super excited and pretty excited. Interestingly, 5% of you, when asked how much do you like Game of Thrones, said left-handed. But anyway, 36% are like totally jazzed about Sunday night. It's got its own Super Bowl feel.
You know what's really weird is now, and I watch this one every week as it comes out, but now that I'm so used to watching series shows anytime I want, that shows that are on once a week like Veep, or I love the show Barry that's on HBO.
Terrific show.
I'm not watching them so that I bank up a few.
Oh, no kidding.
So that I can watch whenever I want. Like, because now my mentality is, well, I'm going to forget week after week what happened.
It's amazing how long they've made us wait for the next episode.
The problem is spoilers. And people love to spoil things like Game of Thrones.
But we don't. But I haven't heard even anybody suggesting
no,
that the word is out.
If we don't watch.
No, not now, but yeah, if you don't watch on time.
Well, what is the rule on that? What's the shelf life for having to be quiet when an episode drops once a week? Or when a series drops in its entirety?
I would say the week. You have until the next episode comes out.
And then
catch
you get
up.
To talk about it. I'd say that's fair enough.
Oh, boy, I'd say 2 days max.
I'll never join you!
If you only knew the power of the dark side.
These folks are in town this weekend.
Who told you what happened to your father?
He told me enough. He told me you killed him.
No. I am your father.
No. That's not true. That's impossible.
Nah, it's not impossible. He's your daddy. He's your daddy. 30,000 of those folks are in Chicago this weekend for a big fancy convention. They're all wearing costumes, or many of them are. I don't know where we are on the... Is it all part of the game? If you're a Star Wars fan and are totally into the convention and you're standing at a bus stop with that helmet on right now, I don't know that we need to make fun of you, but we get to, right? Like, I'm not sure if that's just being rude or if part of the game is they know that we know that they know. It's fair. I have a buddy who's like totally into it, and he kind of pretended like it didn't bother him, but it really did, which made us want to egg him on more, you know, confuse it with Star Trek and stuff like that. And that's the whole shtick. And I don't know if that's us being asses or if, you know, you need to lighten up because you're standing at a bus stop with a helmet on. I don't know what the rules of engagement are there.
Okay, here's what I think. I think you shouldn't judge them, but also I can be judgmental sometimes too.
Yeah.
There was a concert on Halloween for this singer named Marina and the Diamonds.
Oh yeah.
Who you now know about.
You introduced me to her this week.
Yeah, and her outfits are really cool and elaborate.
She's a beautiful dresser.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Elaborate, thoughtful, creative costumes.
Yes. And so everybody on Halloween were at that concert was dressed like her. And I was like, guys, come on. You know everybody's going to be dressed as her. Just do something else.
Oh, you thought they were too in sync, huh?
Right. So I was Marina the next year.
She was in
I'm serious.
Really?
Yes.
What's the matter, Steve?
Nothing. It's okay.
I think that if they're there for the convention, it makes sense that they're dressed up. If it were any other weekend, yeah, you might want to be a bit concerned.
If it was the Thursday at TGI Fridays, then you go to go, what? All right, but even if you take that out, just when you find out that somebody knows the interplay of all of the series, all of the characters, it's sort of like Game of Thrones, it's okay to tease them about it, right?
I think people who wear those costumes are saying, look at me. Right, in many ways.
Yeah. Well, sure.
So, yeah, you're right.
So then,
not in a bad way.
In any way. Yeah, no, I don't mean negative to them, but they're wearing a costume that look at me. So I think if you want to look at them and go, no, I think that's perfectly acceptable.
Well,
and I will be all weekend long.
But but no isn't enough. I mean, no is not getting it done. If you're going to play the game, you need to say, beam me up, Scotty. Ha ha ha. And then they go, no, you idiot, that's Star Trek. This is Star Wars. You know, if you confuse them with one of the other sci-fi shows, that's how to play the game. And it's irresistible. And again, I'm not sure if that's my bad or if they need to know, yeah, that's going to happen. That's what happens. You know, if you were, for years when you were a Cubs fan, you knew if you were a Cubs fan, people were going to go and make fun of your team. That was the drill. That's the way the game gets played. But hats off or helmets off to those of you who are in town enjoying the convention, because I'm happy for you. By the way, speaking of the Chicago Cubs, Kevin, maybe you can back me up on this a little bit. I'm just doing some math here. If you add up the current wins of the Cubs and the White Sox, say Chicago collectively, we have 7 wins now. Seattle has 13. In fact, if you add the Cubs wins to the Sox wins, we're only 1 game behind St. Louis and Milwaukee in the National League, and only 1 win behind Cleveland and Detroit in the AL Central. So Chicago needs to pick up its game. I understand the Cubs are winning. Hopefully the Sox will, too. And one other note. Somebody introduced me to the Derrick Rose documentary and a couple of scenes from it, which are floating around the interwebs right now. Derrick Rose was sitting down after he got traded, or as he was getting traded from Chicago. They were literally in real time filming a documentary when these events were transpiring. When he gets the phone call from his agent, B.J. Armstrong, saying, guess what, you're going to New York, his reaction is probably as interesting and dramatic a thing as you'll ever see from Derrick Rose. It's pretty cool. Thank you, Steve. Miles left on the road. It's 2:38. This is WGN Radio. On Fridays at this time, we start with the song, producer Ella picks it, and we've got some fun things for you to do this weekend. What you got there?
Muse. I love Muse. They're playing the United Center tonight at 8. Tickets start at $40 on Ticketmaster, and with your ticket purchase, you will get a physical copy of Muse's new album, Simulation Theory.
They're going to give people albums?
Yes.
What are they going to do with them?
What are people going to do with their albums?
Yeah.
Listen to them, of course.
How will they listen to them? Will they carry them out under their arms? You're looking at me like these are really stupid questions, but A, you have to have a turntable.
Well, a CD. I don't know. I just saw a physical copy. Leave me alone.
Ha 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 Also this weekend, we've been talking a little bit about it. The Star Wars Celebration, the ultimate fan experience for Star Wars fans, is at McCormick Place through the 15th. Tickets at StarWarsCelebration.com. $75 to get in. Lauren Lapka, what do you like this weekend?
I know. Well, I just want to point out before I say my thing, you didn't even acknowledge my Rebel Scum shirt that I am wearing.
I was really admiring that. I don't have a Rebel Scum red shirt with black letters. What is that all about?
That's Star Wars, my friend.
Oh, no. See, that just goes to show I don't know.
Yeah, that's
okay. So then what was your personal answer to, is it okay to tease people that are like you?
I mean, I don't mind, but I don't go as far as probably most. I have some very obnoxious costumes from Halloween.
You do? Well, somebody texted in. They said, so, John, if we take something you really like and make fun of it to your face, is that fun to you? Happy Brightside.
Yeah, it's a fair point.
Fair enough. I'm learning here.
But other than that, there is a beer tasting going on for Chicago Beer Fest. Sample 25 beers. And formerly, this was the River North Beer Fest. So if you've ever been there, that's where it is. It's at Moe's Cantina and Old Crow Smokehouse. I'm a big beer lover, so I might have to go check that out.
Cruel Intentions, the 90s musical, is playing at the Broadway Playhouse, featuring your favorite music from the 90s. With productions tonight through the 14th, go to Broadway in Chicago for tickets and information.
Good news. If you want to go to beer tasting, but then you get very hungry after, just go on over to Chicken Wings Festival. That's the UIC Pavilion. That's where that's at. It's for ages 10 and older, no pets, but you get to compete to win the Best of Fest Award if you want to kind of sample your own wings.
I guess you're cooking your wings, maybe? The Best of Fest would be?
That part specifically would definitely
be that.
I like it.
No pets involved. Because
and unlimited samples.
You can't have a bunch of dogs walking around a wing thing. That'll go badly.
Very bad.
Arts and Crafts Fair is at the Villa Parks Odeum. Events go through the 9th. Go through 9 tonight, 9 to 6 tomorrow, and 10 to 5 on Sunday. Pay $10 adults to get in. Visit hpifestivals.com for details. The Arts and Crafts Fair at Villa Parks Odeum this weekend.
Well, obviously this weekend is not Easter, but if you want to celebrate a little early, we have Easter at the Zoo. Breakfast with the Bunny is an all-you-can-eat buffet, and visit with the Easter Bunny at Brookfield Zoo on April 13th, which would be tomorrow? I don't have my days correct.
Yeah,
hold on. Tomorrow.
Yeah, it's written down here somewhere, yeah.
But they're also doing it on Sunday and the 20th, so next Saturday.
Get a load of this. Record Store Day is tomorrow. Speaking of records, that means you can visit some of your favorite record stores across the city and get exclusive releases, giveaways, in-store performances. Some of those include Audiophile on Van Buren Street, Bloodshot Records, Irving Park Road, House of Vans on Elizabeth Street. There's lots of record stores in the city and suburbs, and their day is tomorrow.
Very nice. I obviously mentioned the One Beer Festival. There's one in Tinley Park if you don't want to come all the way downtown.
You're kind of in a groove here, aren't you, Lapka?
Yeah, beer and wine, so a little bit of everything for everyone. That's at the Tinley Park Convention Center tomorrow.
Beer and Wine Fest?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, just a quick wrap-up of some of the sporting things. The Sunset Marathon Chicago takes place at Elliott Park in Evanston. Active.com/Evanston for details of time and registration. Are you in shape? The marathon in Evanston this weekend. Also, the White Sox are in New York versus the 5-7 Yankees. 5:30 pregame tonight. First pitches at 12:05 tomorrow and Sunday. Cubs are at Wrigley today and every day this weekend at 1:20 versus those Angels. The Bulls are idle. Blackhawks are too, which is a big fat bummer.
Mm-hmm. I actually saw on the United Center website, it said, Blackhawks, TBD, and I'm like, nope.
because next year's schedule isn't out. Doggone it. Okay, let's do this. I'll play a couple of commercials while we do. Why don't you call or text 312-981-7200. Tell us something that's making you smile. What's your bright side? It can be something really grand, or it can be the smallest little thing that's making you happy. But on Fridays, we start your weekend with The Bright Side. It's sponsored by our friends at the Joint Relief Institute. They paid for these fancy pins that a really cool company in Chicago called Big League Pins made for us. They're the official Bright Side pin. We'll randomly hand them out to texters and callers now. Here's a little song on the radio.
Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad.
This is our bright side.
Other things just make you swear and...
We do it on Fridays. Call 312.
When you're chewing on life's gristle.
981-7200 or text to that number. You can whistle with us if you want. We sing this song on Fridays.
Look,
we feature Kevin's whistling during this part of the show.
You made me laugh.
Got one more chance, buddy. Here it comes.
The light side of life.
All right, fine.
If life seems jolly rotten, there's something
you've
forgotten.
I'll get it eventually.
Good job, Kevin.
You
have one thing to do for this show, all I ask.
When you're feeling in the dumps,
thank you.
Be silly chumps.
312-981-7200. You can also go to Facebook, WGN Radio's site, and we've taken some of your Facebook posts there. We'll randomly hand out some of those bright side pins from our friends at the Joint Relief Institute. Let's go to the phones. Phil, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, sir?
Oh, I'm smiling because I saw a video this week about Dwayne Wade and some of the people he helped in his NBA career. He seems like just a genuine class guy.
Is that the Budweiser commercial?
Yeah, that's the Budweiser commercial.
Yeah. Nice, that's what it is. If it's making you smile. Carla, you're on WGN. What's your bright side? Hi, Carla.
My bright side is my 17-year-old niece who has Down syndrome. She's a senior in high school, and she was voted to her prom court. So,
congratulations.
Yeah, we are thrilled. We're really pulling for a queen for her. It would just make her day and her life. And I just want to say she is one of the best people. She's just filled with joy all the time. She always looks on the bright side of life. So we're just so happy that she has this honor.
What school is she on the prom court?
She actually lives in Iowa. She lives in Wapello, Iowa. So
good for them. Good for her. Good for you all. Good luck, too, huh?
Sounds like my kind of queen.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right, let's read some at 312-981-7200.
810, I can feel this one. Their bright side of life, NHL playoffs. I know the Blackhawks aren't in it. They don't mind because they agree. It's a magical time of year.
Yeah, best hockey, most exciting hockey. If you want to become a hockey fan, watch it now. What else you got?
We have from 847, this person raises dogs for Leader Dog, and they're for the blind. And last night, Lucy, the lovely Labrador, gave birth to 3 healthy puppies who will go to help people visually impaired. Great news.
Ella, give us one.
Lou Manfredini, Mr. Fix-It, says, it's my brother-in-law Peter's 50th birthday today. We love you, Peter.
There's something you forgot, and that's to love and smile and dance and sing.
Harvey, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Harvey? Hi, Harvey. Harvey on the air. Stand by. Hey, Harvey, are you there? Give him one more try. Hey,
Can you hear me?
There you are, Harvey. What's your bright side?
My son argued a case in front of the U.S. Supreme Court on March 25th, and myself and my wife were there to see it. One of the most exciting experiences of our life.
Did you just cry?
Yes.
Of course you did. They had to remove him. They actually said, sir, you can't cry in the Supreme Court. And your son is like, Dad. Oh, my gosh.
So now, we had great seats. We were 3 rows with him.
What was the issue? I don't have a lot of time, but when will we find out if he was successful?
Probably not until June, and you can't get a good reading. But they all asked questions, and it was just in front of the 9 Supreme Court justices. Just once in a lifetime opportunity.
Always look on the law.
Thank you, sir. Congratulations. Lauren Lapka, go.
630, their bright side. My wife and I just completed Adulting 101 by buying our first house.
Yeah. That's a beautiful thing. Let's go to line number 4. This is Sandy. You're on WGN. What's your bright side?
We're heading to Morris, Illinois. My son's getting married tomorrow.
Oh, my gosh. Yay. How about bright side of life pins for the bride and groom?
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, hold on. Elif's going to get your information. Okay. We'll give you some of those pins, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
And then you can take back the crock pot.
Right.
Speaking of Elif, hey, producer Elif, you got time to announce a couple yourself?
I do. We have some bright side pin winners online from Facebook. We have Erin, who says that she will have finished a 27-page research paper.
Oh, that's a beautiful feeling.
Dot, dot, dot. Phew. And then Paul says, I look forward to a nice spring weekend with my wife, even if Mother Nature disagrees.
Yeah, how about that?
Cheryl says, only a few days left of tax season, so this tax widow will get her CPA. Widow?
Yeah, well, if you lose him until April 15th, you're a widow. You're a tax widow. It's like a playoff widow when the Cubs are in the playoffs.
Oh.
It's a thing.
This tax widow will get her CPA husband back soon.
If life seems jolly rotten.
Lauren Lapka, go.
630, it is my 33rd wedding anniversary today. Congratulations.
Christo,
big milestone.
Christo, you're on WGN. What's your bright side?
Hey, John, it's my bright side is that you are on the radio. I listen to you every single day via the watch feature through my headphones at work. I took the day off today, and I was happy to hear that you're on while I'm working out in the yard. My other bright side is I have Thomas Jefferson tickets, and I'm bringing my husband and my good friend Judy Testas. She's a world-renowned art historian, and she's really looking forward to this.
Promise me one of you is going to ask a question, okay?
We will try.
Oh, wow. Christo, raise your hand. Congratulations. Thanks. We'll see you on May 18th.
Sounds good, John. Take care.
Carl, you're on WGN. Wait a minute. Hold on. I got to get to Lauren Lapka first. Laura, go.
All right. 224, their bright side of life, just received a new job offer.
Oh, that's
congratulations.
Yeah, I'm happy for anybody that's getting a new job, a first job, a job.
Any job, yeah.
Hey, Sue, you're on WGN. What's your bright side, Sue? You're on the air.
Oh, I did my about my fifth MRI. I have glioblastoma and just found out that there is nothing there.
Yay.
So I want to thank the Malnati's, because they support Northwestern's Brain Cancer Institute and Roger Stoop and Karen Schmidt.
Oh, that's so nice. So no brain cancer.
Well, it's not there right now, no.
I'm going to send you a bright side pin, too. I want you to wear it every day, okay?
I will. Thank you.
It's not a Lou Malnati's pizza, but it's really a pretty nifty pin, okay?
Great, but Malnati's has really done a great job in supporting that institute, the Brain Tumor Institute.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it. Congrats, and I'm happy for you. That's a bright side, everybody.
So always look on the bright side of life.
Go ahead. What have you got?
This one's impressive. 708. Kylie is 12, and today is the first day of break, and she's going on vacation for 12 days with her friends. 12 years old listening to this program.
It's kind of a golden break. 12 days?
Yeah.
12 years old. Carl, you're on WGN. What's your bright side?
Hey, John. My bright side is I'm feeling a lot better after a short bout with the flu recently. It really knocked me off my feet.
You're feeling better now, are you, Carl?
Oh, yeah. You know what else made me feel better? The movie Dumbo. John, did you see it?
I have not. The reviews are mixed, but one thing about the bright side is we don't judge other people's happiness. If it made you happy, it makes us happy. Carl, we're glad you're feeling better.
Another very
Lapka,
cool
we got time
one.
For maybe one more each.
847, my dad and I are awake listening to your show in Hong Kong and waiting for the sun to come up so they can go to Disneyland. That is a very bright side.
Save that one. We'll send them some bright side of life pins, too, from our friends at the Joint Relief Institute. And let's go to, Maureen. How about Maureen on line 5? You're on WGN. What's your bright side, Maureen?
Hi, John. I just wanted to let you know that I donated my kidney to my brother-in-law, John Vermont, 2 weeks ago, and he's doing great, and he's off of dialysis.
And you sound great, too. You donated your kidney. How are you both? You're both doing well.
Yeah, we're doing good. Absolutely.
You know, 9 out of 10 doctors recommend that you get the Joint Relief Institute Bright Side of Life pin. Can I send you guys a couple?
Sure you can. Absolutely.
What a nice gesture.
A gesture
does not
begin
to address.
No, that's a heroic move, yeah.
A gesture is, hey, nice shirt. This is a kidney. So we'll send them the Bright Side of Life pin, too. Okay, thank you, Lauren Lapka.
Thank you.
Elif Garris, thank you for doing all of that. Ro, Anna, the whole gang, what's going on with you all?
Hey, John, we've got Justin Kaufman in today as Ro is out. He's enjoying himself, and he's going to be back on Monday.
Don't get Kaufman wound up. The Mincing Rascals podcast Thursday was historic.
What was the topic? Very quickly.
We should talk about, I was going to say, we should talk about Lincoln Yards today.
That is why.
That's and the 78.
That's his button. That's
so it's like when, when you have family coming over and you just know, don't ask them about.
No religion. No
whatever.
Don't ask Uncle Justin.
Uncle Justin.
Right. No, it's because Williams and Bertrand, they got on their high
here
horse.
We go. Here we go.
Listen to
thanks for the warning. We do have Michael Steele, the former chair of the Republican National Party. He is going to be on the air with us coming up here. There are so many articles out there today. One is that the GOP is growing tired of Trump just acting unilaterally and not letting them know. And there's so many instances. I'm like, really? Is this just happening just now? But there are a couple of instances that have really sort of got a couple of the leadership there. They're fuming. And Amanda Vinicky is going to be here. She's a correspondent for Chicago Tonight. You've seen her on WTTW. And she's going to break down all the things going on in the state.
Springfield.
We've got the marijuana, recreational marijuana bill that's going to be passed potentially by the end of the spring, and some other legislative issues that affect all of us. We'll talk about that. Tom Skilling will join us. We're giving away tickets to Todd Rundgren, and we got a top five at five you will not believe.
Fridays are fun days on the radio. Have another good show.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.